of Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nybert. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nybert.
The Lord Jesus Christ came to die. That was His purpose in coming into this world. He came to die. He was called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world has to come in time to die. He came for this purpose, to die. We read in Mark chapter 10, verse 32, and they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them. Now this is shortly before His death. He's lived 33 years here upon the earth, perfectly obeying God's holy law. The only perfect man to ever live. And the time for Him to die has come. And the Scripture says that the disciples followed Him and they were amazed and afraid because they knew there would be trouble waiting for Him at Jerusalem. And He took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen to Him, saying, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn Him to death, and shall deliver Him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock Him, and shall scourge Him, and shall spit upon Him, and shall kill Him. And the third day He shall rise again." Rise from the dead. Now, the Lord told the disciples exactly what was going to take place. And He's on His way to Jerusalem to be crucified. His hour had come. And the Scripture says that He'd set His face like a flint. This is why He came. The hour has come. The time to die. Now, on His way to Jerusalem, He had to pass through the town of Jericho. And as He was going out of Jericho with His face set like a flint, He was going to do the Father's will. Something stopped Him. He stopped in His tracks. I've entitled this message, "When Jesus Stood Still." What is it that stopped Him? Well, I'd like to read Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. "And as they came to Jericho, and as He went out of Jericho with His disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more, 'A great deal, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still." Now, He'd set His face like a flint to go to Jerusalem to be crucified. He was going to accomplish His mission. And here He's going. Nothing can stop Him. But the cry of this one man caused Him to stop in His tracks. Now, what is it that would cause the Lord to stand still? What is it that would cause the Lord to stop and to listen and to be affected by something someone was saying? Well, we read of a blind beggar by the name of Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. Timaeus means pollution, the son of pollution. Now, it would be difficult to be blind living in the lap of luxury, but to be a blind beggar? What a horrible existence. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. He was blind. He was plumb blind. He could not see, and he was a beggar. He could not work. He had no power to provide for himself or enrich himself. He was completely dependent upon the charity of others. Now, Bartimaeus pictures you and I, the son of pollution, blind, unable to see the kingdom of God, unable to see the gospel, unable to understand, spiritually blind, unable to see, and unable to work, unable to merit heaven, completely dependent upon the charity of God. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. Now, this is a bad place to be, blind and a beggar. And it's a terrible place to be if you're that way and you don't know it. But you know, the Lord made this statement in John chapter 9. There's something good about being blind. He said, "For judgment I'm come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." Now, what in the world does that mean? He says, "I've come for judgment, so that those who cannot see will see, and those who say we see, they'll be made blind." Now, those people who can see why God would save them. He saved me because I believe. I decided to let Him save me. I did so as an act of my free will. I repented. I turned my life around. I'm doing my best. I'm seeking to serve Him. I believe all the right things. I believe the right way. I can see why He'd save me. My friend, you've been made blind. If that's your response, you're as blind as a bat spiritually. You have no spiritual sight. You're far from the kingdom of heaven. But if there is one who cannot see in themselves why a holy God would ever look their way or have anything to do with them, you can't see why He would extend His saving grace to you, as since you're so sinful and unworthy, you really believe that if He saved everybody but you, it wouldn't be an act of injustice on His part. If He had mercy on everybody but you, it wouldn't be wrong or unfair. Whatever He does is right. You believe yourself to be so sinful, you can't find a reason in yourself as to why He'd save you. Would that be you? You're the person He's going to save. You're the person He's going to give sight to. He's going to teach you the gospel. Now, that person who can see why God would save them, He'll pass them by. Leave them to themselves. But someone who sees their sinfulness and sees God's justice and their need of grace, and they can't find a reason in themselves as to why God would save them, God made you that way. There was a time when you didn't see that, but you do now. And God has given you that sight in order to show you and teach you and reveal to you the gospel. The gospel is for sinners. That's the person whom God is going to give sight to. That blind beggar sits there, begging. He cannot see. Verse 47, "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out." Now, he'd just been sitting there begging. He hears a commotion. He says, "What's going on?" And somebody tells him, "Jesus of Nazareth passeth by." And he begins to cry, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Now, the first thing that strikes me is that blind Bartimaeus knew something that the crowd didn't know. What do you mean by that? Well, they said, "Jesus of Nazareth passes by." All they knew of Him was Jesus of Nazareth. All they knew of Him was that He was a man. Perhaps a good man, perhaps a great man. But merely a man. Perhaps a powerful man, a man who could work miracles. But merely a man, Jesus of Nazareth. Bartimaeus knew Him to be the Son of David. Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus knew Him to be the Messiah, God's promised Christ, the Son of David. The crowd knew Him to be Jesus of Nazareth. Bartimaeus knew Him to be the Son of David, God's promised Messiah. Now, I don't know if Bartimaeus knew at this time that he was a believer, but he knew that Jesus Christ was the Son of David. Now, how did he know? He had faith. That's the answer to that question. He had true God-given faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, somewhere along the line, Bartimaeus heard. He heard the Word of God. And no doubt, day after day, he had heard gossip about Jesus of Nazareth. He had heard about the miracles that He had done, and he'd heard all kinds of things about Jesus of Nazareth, sitting there by the highway side, begging every day. People would come by, and he'd hear them talking about Jesus of Nazareth. And I'm sure that Bartimaeus also had some familiarity with the Old Testament Scriptures. I suppose that perhaps on the Sabbath day, somebody would lead him by the hand and set him in the temple, and he'd hear the Scriptures read. And he knew that from hearing the Scripture, from hearing the Word of God, that the Christ was the Son of David. Whoever the Son of David was, that's who the Christ is. That's the Messiah, the promised Messiah. Now, I have no doubt that he heard the book of Isaiah read during the course of his lifetime. And remember, he was a blind man. He was a blind man. Three times in the book of Isaiah, we read where the Messiah will open the eyes of the blind. Don't you reckon that meant something very special to Bartimaeus? Now, somebody else might have heard it and said, well, if I'm ever blind, that'll be good. But oh, when the blind man heard this, he knew that whoever the Messiah was, he would open the eyes of the blind. Now, one day, he heard, in hearing these people pass by, he heard that Jesus of Nazareth gave sight to one who was born blind. And at that instant, he knew that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. Only the Son of David could give sight to one who was born blind. Now, at that time, I have no doubt that he became a secret disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he had not come into contact with Him, but here's his faith. He knew He was the Son of David. He might have heard others scoffing at Christ and calling Him an imposter or making fun of Him, but he never scoffed. He knew that Jesus Christ was the Son of David, the One who opened the eyes of the blind. And I have no doubt that he said to himself, if he ever passes by, oh, how I'm going to cry out, Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Now here he sits by the highway side, begging. But the time has come. He hears a commotion. He asked, what does this mean? What's this ruckus all about? And somebody said to him, this is what Luke's account says, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And immediately he began to cry out, Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, what faith this man demonstrated. He was a man of great faith. You know, Bartimaeus is one of my heroes. I look forward to meeting him in heaven. You and I would probably have to hear that he'd stopped and called us by name personally. But not Bartimaeus. He simply heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, and he began to cry out. Now listen to me. Right now, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by in the preaching of the Word. Oh, would to God that you and I could be just like Bartimaeus, crying out, Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, what was it that Bartimaeus desired? Mercy. Now, when you want mercy, there are two things that you're completely aware of. You don't have any problem with these two things. When you're asking for mercy, first thing you're aware of is that your sin is all your fault. You can't blame somebody else. You can't blame the sovereignty of God. You can't blame your circumstances. You can't blame your environment. You can't blame your raising. Your sin is all your fault. The only one to blame is you. You see, if I've not taken personal responsibility for my sin, it's all my fault. I'm not asking for mercy. I'm asking for payment. I think I'm entitled to something if I don't see that my sin is all my fault. It's really not my fault. It's somebody else's fault. It's my parents' fault. It's God's sovereignty. You don't ask for mercy that way. You're expecting God to do something for you based on you've got it coming to you. Now, you can't come to God like that. You cannot do that. No, you come needing mercy. Your sin is all your fault. Now, that's the first thing you understand. When you truly ask for mercy, it's all my fault, guilty as charged. And when you ask for mercy, you understand that it's His to give or to withhold. It's not an entitlement. It's not something that He must give you. You know it's His to give or withhold. It's just like when you ask somebody forgiveness. You don't say, now you have to forgive me. Nobody's going to forgive you when you come across like that, or if I would come across like that. You have to forgive me. It's your responsibility. Forgive me. No, you don't say that. You say, oh, please forgive me. It's the same thing in asking for mercy. When you ask for mercy, you know it's His to give or withhold. You know, when I see people arguing against the great doctrines of the gospel, like the doctrine of God's sovereign election, He chooses whom He will to be saved, and this choice was made before time began, or Christ's effectual redemption for His elect, how He died and accomplished their salvation, and somebody responds, well, that's not fair. He ought to be doing that for everybody. You've never asked for mercy. Not really. You only ask for mercy when you know you're in the hands of a sovereign God who can save you or damn you as He's pleased to do. You come like that leper did. Lord, if You will, You can make me clean. You don't come saying, Lord, You need to do this or You need to do... No. When you ask for mercy, you come knowing it's in His sovereign hands to give or to withhold. Now, evidently, as Bartimaeus cried, Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. At first, the Lord didn't respond. Why do you say that? Well, let's go on reading. Verse 48, and many charged Him that He should hold His peace. Now, evidently, He was saying, Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. He was screaming it out from you, and I can't imitate what He must have felt as He was crying for the Son of David to stop. But the Lord kept on walking, and He kept screaming, and the crowd said, be quiet, Bartimaeus. I mean, give it up. Obviously, it's not going to happen. Give up, Bartimaeus. Now, the crowd will tell you to give it up. It's too late for you. You're too sinful. You've sinned against the Holy Spirit. You're not one of God's elect. You're too big a hypocrite to be saved. Give it up, Bartimaeus. But what did Bartimaeus do? I love this. Verse 48, many charged Him that He should hold His peace, but He cried the more, a great deal, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, I know this. If your only hope is mercy, you'll never stop crying for it until you have it. Now, let me repeat that. If your only hope is the mercy of God, you will never stop crying for it until you have it. He cried the more, a great deal, Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And then we read in verse 49, and Jesus stood still. He stopped. He heard. He responded. Now, if you cry for mercy, He'll hear you. Somebody says, well, I've cried and He didn't hear me. You didn't ask for mercy. You tried to bargain with God. You made some kind of empty promises about what you'd do if He'd do this. That's not asking for mercy. No. If you ask for mercy, He'll hear you. Jesus stood still. Here He is on the way to the cross to do what He came to do, but this is what stopped Him. This cry for mercy. Oh Lord Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still. And what's it say next in verse 49? He commanded him to be called. You know, the Lord never requests. He commanded him to be called. Now, so the crowd answers, "Be of good comfort, rise, He calleth thee." Verse 50, and he, Bartimaeus, in his blindness, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Now, why this detail? Casting away his garment. There's great significance to this, and here's why. All who come to Christ, without exception, all who ask for mercy, cast away the garment of their own self-righteousness. They get rid of that thing, and you come to Him naked. You come to Him exposed. You come to Him in honesty, with nothing but your shame, needing a covering of His providing. Now that's the way Bartimaeus came. He cast away that old filthy garment. Perhaps there was a time when he felt security and warmth in that garment. But now when he comes to Christ, he casts that thing away. Doesn't Isaiah chapter 64 verse 6 say, our righteousnesses are as filthy rags? He took his filthy rags and he cast them away, and he rose and he came to the Lord Jesus Christ in honesty, in his shame, in his sin. Have you ever thrown away your covering? Have you ever thrown that away that you got security from? But now you see, it's nothing but filthy rags, your own righteousness, your own religion. You throw it away in order to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's look what is said next. He rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto you? What a question. What do you want, Bartimaeus? What do you want me to do? Now notice he didn't say, what do you want me to enable you to do? He said, what do you want me to do? What wilt thou that I should do unto you? Now, listen real carefully. Salvation is what Christ does for you, not what you do for Him. He's got to do something for us, and He's got to do something to us. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Now, He's got to do something for me to be saved in my blindness. He's got to do something for me. He's got to do something about my sin. There's nothing I can do about my sin. There's nothing I can do to make up for it. He's got to do something for me about my sin. He's got to put my sin away so that it is no more. And that's what the Lord did on the cross. He washed away the sins of everybody He died for. Hebrews 1:3 says, He by Himself purged us of our sins. And not only do I have to have my sins washed away, I have to have a perfect righteousness before God. And He gives me that. My sin became His sin. He washed it away. And He takes His perfect obedience and gives it to me. And now it's mine. That's what He does for me. But not only do I have to have something done for me, I have to have something done unto me. I have to have something done in me. I need to be given a new heart. My old heart's no good. I need to be given a new heart. A new heart that believes. A heart that repents. A heart that loves God. A heart that continues. I have to have Him do something on the inside. Not just for me, but something to me. I have to be given a new nature because my nature is completely evil. I need to be given a new nature. He says to Bartimaeus, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" And Bartimaeus says, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." He knew what he needed. "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, verse 52, "Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Now, in his experience, he still hadn't seen yet when the Lord says this. But he says, "Go your way. You're set free. Your faith hath made you whole." Now, what was his faith? He believed that Jesus was the Son of David. He believed he was God's promised Messiah, God the Son, the Savior, the Christ. That's what he believed. And Christ said, "Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Now, Luke's account says, "Thy faith hath saved thee." Now, why does the Bible use language like that? Why faith? Why not reverence? He had that. Why not knowledge? He had that. Why not earnestness? He had that. Why not humility? He certainly had that. Why not importunity? He had that. He just kept crying. Why not repentance? Our Lord says, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." Why does the Lord put such honor on faith? Well, Romans 4:16 says, "Therefore it's a faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed." You see, faith and grace go together. There's either works and law or faith and grace. It's a faith that it might be by grace. Salvation is by sheer, pure, complete grace. Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." You're set free. And immediately he received his sight. And what was his way? He followed Jesus in the way. That's what he wanted to do. The Lord said, "Go do what you want to do. Go your way. You're set free." And what did he do? He followed Jesus in the way. Oh, would to God, as the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of David, passes by through the preaching of his word, someone will cry with Bartimaeus, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, we have this message on CD and DVD. And if you call the church, write or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Nyberg praying that God will be pleased to make himself known to you. That's our prayer. Amen.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com. Or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.